two verses of Isaiah 50, verses 10 and 11, and got a different message this morning. Half of it is topical and half of it is expositional, amen, and we're going to kind of get into something. I think it's very interesting, but you may not know that or believe that. Just pretend like you do, amen. Shake your heads, clap your hands every now, jump up, shout amen. I want you to keep doing what you're doing, Jesse. Shout all you, amen. Just keep on doing that, and if you don't, I brought a handkerchief. But if you don't say amen, I bought a towel as well. Amen. So I'll go even longer. I might get another bottle of water. Isaiah 50, verse 10, you're there. Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant?" Now catch how this transitions. "That walketh in darkness and hath no light." The verse opens up with somebody that is fearing the Lord and obeying his voice, but it ends with someone that's walking in darkness and has no light. Look what the instruction of the Word of God is. "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Behold, here's a lesson coming that the Word of God wants to teach you. "All ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to preach. Encourage the hearts of your saints. And God, you'd give them ears to listen this morning. And God, you would apply it to their lives. Help us, Lord God, to be open to receive the encouragement and God, the instruction from your word. And God, where life exists and lies. And help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We find that here in Isaiah 50, no doubt written during the time of captivity. They are going through a time of struggle. And Isaiah, being the prophet, is talking about trying to recover. And in this verse, we find that he begins to describe a time in the Christian's life that if you've been saved any time at all, you will eventually experience. It is a time of darkness, a time where you walk through a time where light has seemed to escape you and you seem like you're not quite sure which way to go. Sunday school this morning was talking about Paul and his desire to go where God had told him to go. But then in the moment of making that choice, darkness seemed to fall and people were trying to distract him and detour him. Yet he had to keep going where he knew what God had said in the light. He was not going to now doubt in the time of darkness. And no doubt in your life, I believe we are living as Christians in a very dark time. The Bible says you and I are the light of the world. If we are the light of the world, that means then without us, this world is dark. So as light, we walk through a dark world. So this morning, I want to preach on how to survive the night. How do we survive the night? In this walk, we have seasons per se. We experience the high days where God's blessing and multiplying, and it seems like everything you do, God just bless. It seems like you wake up in the morning and he's right there, and you go to bed at night and he's right there, and man, you dream great dreams, and it just seems like everywhere you go, God's blessing. But then you have those low times where it seems like no matter where you go, you can't find him, and no matter what you do, you can't hear him, and no matter where you look, you can't see him. And in those dark moments, and the mountaintops and the valleys, and we call them storms, and all this different adage we use and verbiage we use to describe the seasons in life. But can I say this morning that knowledge brings us into understanding that there are different seasons of life liberates us from the fear of not knowing or what we're walking through. If you did not know as a Christian that when you got saved, you were not saved from the storms of life, you were not saved from dark times, you were going to be going through the same thing everybody else goes through, except now you have the facts of Jesus Christ. You have the knowledge, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
Could you imagine this morning if you had no knowledge of seasons? And y'all don't have seasons down here, but up in Kentucky in the glory land, we have seasons. There's this thing called summer and spring and fall and winter. Y'all just have perpetual heat and hot. Amen. I cannot stand it. Amen. But in the glory land in Kentucky, around summertime, it begins to end out in fall. That's when we get to go out and kill them deer. Can I get an amen, Brother Jesse? And then all of a sudden, all the green leaves start turning brown.
And all you start looking at the nice pretty trees, and all of a sudden now they're all brown and orange and red. And at first, maybe you think that was pretty. But then all of a sudden, all the leaves start falling off the trees. And now you look around and everything around you is dead. And no doubt, if you don't know what's happening inside, you're thinking, what in the world is going on? Then this white stuff, y'all have never seen this before, but it's called snow, begins to fall out of the sky, and it gets cold outside, and now you don't even want to go outside anymore, and everything is dead, and everything is decaying, and everything is cold and frigid and frozen. No doubt, if no understanding of the seasons, you would be in absolute terror. But by knowing seasons come, that summer is part of life and fall is part of life and winter is part of life, then you know that all of this has a purpose in life, and that after fall, the spring begins to come. That while it might be cold now, spring is just around the corner, and all of this decay, all of this death is just producing more life. And having that knowledge gives you the hope in the cold times and the hard times. And this morning, understand that in the dark days will come, but it's just part of life. It's just part of life. Now, I can't explain that. I don't know why God desired it to be this way, why He has designed it to be this way. And let me just say real quickly, before you make an excuse for yourself, some darkness you bring on yourself. I'm not talking about that darkness. This morning, I mean the darkness that God just brings upon all Christians to develop them in times of darkness, to bring them out stronger than when they went in. Can I get an amen right there? And though I don't understand that, I can't help to think about Job and how he was an example of how a man should be walking with God and walking with God, and yet still bad things happen in his life. I think of David, a man after God's own heart, who is chasing after God, yet has to flee half his life being chased by a maniac king, hiding out in the dark caves. I think about Elijah, who comes off the mountaintop right into the valley and says, God, kill me. I can't take it any longer. I think about even Paul, who wrote out that he despised even his own life, who had went through so much, yet he hated his own life. Can I say this morning, if you are going through a dark time or a dark place, you have company. And while God's man's way may be dark, his end shall be peace and everlasting life. But a wicked man's way may be pleasant, but his end is above all evil and everlasting darkness. So this morning, as we will look just for a few minutes how we can survive the night, and know this, every great thing that God has ever done, He had to bring that man or woman first through a time of darkness. If you study the hymn books out, I'm sure your pastor has brought these things out before. Every great hymn has been written in a time of darkness. Horatio Spafford did as well, knowing that his wife and three kids, the devastation they went through, and Just As I Am was written by a prostitute wandering into a church, and 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus was a young woman who lost her husband and son drowning in a river, and Amazing Grace written by John Newton and the slave trade, and all of that going on in their lives, yet God developed them in a time of darkness, brought out something great to encourage the hearts of others. This morning I began to look and was studying in these times of darkness. How do we survive times of darkness? And I did what every great preacher does when you're trying to learn something. You Google it. Amen. And I Googled how to survive the night. And it brought up a special ops paper. Now, I listen, preacher. Please don't throw nothing at me. I'm going to preach this book in a minute. But I swear to you, I read that special ops manual. And everything it said, everything it was telling those men to do in the night ops is exactly what you and I must do in our night operations. It said first and foremost this, that the first thing you must do in order to survive the night, to make it through the nighttime, you have to keep your eyes moist. It said dry eyes cannot see in dark times. You must blink a lot, keeping your eyes moist. And I thought, man, how much sense that makes. Because in the dark times, how often do our tears dry up? How often do we get bitter and we get hard on God? And we stop raising our hands and we stop singing out and we stop shouting and we stop going to the altar. And all of a sudden our eyes dry up.
and we lose those tears. And this morning I was sitting over there and we've been going through some times of darkness ourselves. He began to sing that rescue story song and I began to remember how God did not give up on me. And he said it again, he never gave up on me. And he never gave up on me. And before long, my heart began to cry out to God and my eyes began to get moist again. And I can just say this morning, I'm glad he's never gave up on me. Don't get bitter in the dark hours. The Bible says in Psalm 56 and verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Isn't it something to think that God is keeping your tears stored up for something? I don't know what he's going to do with them. He says, hey, your tears are in a bottle somewhere and they're written down in the book somewhere. He is keeping a testimony every time you have shed a tear, every time you've cried out in the dark hours, every time you've worshipped him and let your eyes leak a little bit. He has bottled those things up. He has saved those. Let me just say this morning, they are precious to him. Amen. Do not. Now, be honest this morning. In your own heart, don't raise your hand. How many say, preacher, it's been a long time since I've really just cried. Since I've let the Word of God break me to a point where I just cried. Where I've let my sin break me to a point where I've wept. Where I've let the lost neighbor or the lost loved one break me to a point where I've wept. Or I've just thought of the goodness of God long enough where my eyes begin to leak. And if you ain't careful, you'll get used to the songs. And you'll get used to the sermons. And you'll get used to the Spirit. And you'll sit there and you'll dry up. If you're going to survive the nighttime, you better keep your eyes moist. He says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I got to hurry up this morning. Not only do you keep your eyes moist, but then it said this, stay low. If you get too high walking through the darkness, it says you'll trip and you'll stumble. It said it recommends you getting down low. That way you can see and feel what's happening around you. And everything else seems big, but by being low, everything else is lit up in the horizon. It says, do not stand up, do not run, don't go too fast, slow down, and stay low. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, in the darkness, it's easy, especially us men, to puff up. Amen. I can beat this darkness. Get through this. I'm all right. I don't need the church. I don't need the preacher. I don't need the pastor. I don't need brother so-and-so. I'm a man. Amen. And we puff up and we get high. And we all know this, that pride and that haughty spirit always comes before the fall. If you're going through darkness this morning, the worst thing you can do is to puff up. The worst thing you can do is act like you've got this. You need to be that individual that stays low and says, you know what, preacher, I'm going through something. Could you please pray for me? Brother, I'm going through something this morning. I need help. I can't handle this. It's all right this morning to say you can't handle it. Matter of fact, maybe God's trying to get you to the point where you will say you can't handle it. And you learn to lean on him. The book said that in the dark times, staying low. And if you're going to survive the darkness, you got to stay humble and have to get on your face and stay there. Spend hours in your prayer closet and pray more and look to him more. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But in the lowly is wisdom. Staying low in these dark times. It also said this was strange to me, I looked it up, and matter of fact, it is a fact, it said the pilots would wear red tinted glasses through the day. The red tinted glasses would keep out certain of the UV rays so they could fly the night ops at nighttime. And the red tint would block out the harmful rays so that at nighttime, when they took the glasses off, they could see better in the night skies. That looking around, straining during the daytime and always having that light in your eyes would begin to hurt your eyes. It would not prepare you to adjust to the darkness. If you're going to survive the night, you have to begin to see everything through blood-stained lenses. Yeah.
I promise you this, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings this morning. I believe whatever you're going through is probably the worst thing you've ever been through. But know this, when you look at the cross of Calvary, and you look at His pain, and His suffering, and the bloodshed, and all that He did, nothing that we go through even compares. It don't even get close. So this morning, whatever you're going through, if you're going through hell, the song says, keep on moving. Don't slow down, amen. But understand, see it through the cross. If you let things get between you and other things, help me, Don. Come here, Don. Come here, Don. Come here, Jesse. I need your help. This is one of those illustrations I didn't think about until just now. Amen. Look, I want you to get over here. I want you to get right here. All right. Now go. I want, Jesse's the cross. All right, be the cross. Be like this. All right, you're the cross. Dalton's all my problems. Can I get an amen right there? If I keep my problems like this, guess what I can't see? The cross. But if I keep the cross like this, guess what I can't see? My problems, amen. This morning, if you will put the cross before your eyes, it will block out all the problems of your life. Because at the end of the day, they are so small in comparison of what He's done. And you begin to realize, without the cross, I was a sinner destined for hell. Without the cross, I'd still be in my sin. Without the cross, still be in some bar somewhere. Without the cross, I'd still be waking up drunk this morning. Without the cross, my wife and my kids wouldn't know preacher daddy. They know drunk daddy and beaten daddy and broke daddy and jerk daddy. I'm saying this morning, thank God for the cross. Wear red tinted glasses. Then it said this, watch for the horizon. It said that the sun never stays still. So it's never the same amount of darkness as it is right now. That once it gets the darkest of your night, from that point on, it's only getting brighter. He said, so all you do is just keep watching the horizon. Because it's darker it's getting here, the brighter it's getting somewhere else. And then it said this, oh my, it stirred my soul. It said, understand, sometimes you got to encourage yourself. And the Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. It said, remember that while it's dark on your side of the earth, it's bright somewhere else. The sun ain't disappeared. It's just blessing somebody else right now. It's just helping somebody else right now. While the sun's going down in your darkness, it's coming up out of somebody else's darkness, and that can encourage you. And it said, just hang on and watch it, because you'll see it coming. Though weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. Watch the horizon this morning. Luke 21:28, when we see these things come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Do you realize everything we're seeing right now just means it's getting closer for Him to come? I mean, I don't like, listen, I'll be honest, I don't like the dark. I don't like dark times. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking for the millennial kingdom and all that great stuff where no more darkness, no more night. But while I'm in it, I don't like it. But I can remind myself, if I'm in it now, and as dark as it's getting now, that means He's just getting that much closer. And that can encourage us today to watch for His coming. He can't get you like a thief in the night if you know He's coming. Can I get amen right there? Amen. Then lastly, I want you to look at the scriptures today. Those four points, keep your eyes moist, get low, wear red tinted glasses, watch the horizon. All that, man, like I just think somebody got saved somewhere along the line and wrote those things down. That just seemed too good not to tell y'all this morning. But then I'll begin to look at these two verses of what God was saying. And I want to give them, and I'm almost done. We're going to be done real quick this morning. He says this, there's three things I think I find here that I think will encourage your heart. Verse 10, it says this, who's among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant? Now look, who feareth the Lord and obeys the voice of the servant. This is not a backslid Christian. This is not a lost person. This is somebody that fears the Lord and is obeying His voice. And yet, look what it says, that walks in darkness and has no light. I can't understand that. I'll be honest.
how we can love Him, listen to Him, and obey Him, and fear Him, and yet still have darkness. That's what it says this morning. And so the truth sets us free. If you're going through the darkness this morning, say, "Preacher, I swear I'm praying, I'm studying, I'm walking with God, I love Him, I'm in church, yet I'm still in darkness." Don't get outside of the will of God in your time of darkness, because it's okay, saints. You can go through darkness and still be all right with the Lord. He says this, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord." He gives us the resolution. He says, hey, if you obey Him and you fear Him and yet you're still walking in darkness, trust Him. Just trust Him this morning. Trust in the name of the Lord. He says another point in the article that you better know where you're at while it's day, so that when you're there in the night, you learn this. Now, I did night ops in Missouri and got to go through this time, this little course. I told some of y'all that story last time I was here. And this guy said this. He said, listen, guys, in the dark hour, here in a little while, this is all going to set down. And it's going to be real dark. He said, but look around right now. He said, familiarize yourself with this. He says, do you see any monsters out here? I said, no, I don't think so. They're probably hiding right now. So look around. Do you see anything really? Just trees, crickets, some bugs, some lizards, maybe a snake here and there. Glory to God. He said, but at the end of the day, just look around. Get real familiar. He said, in a few hours, that sun's going to go down, and it's going to be dark, and things are going to look different, but they're really not.
Right.
Say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying you better know where you're at with the Lord while it's day. Because darkness is coming. But long as you know where you're at in the day, though things might seem different, though things might feel different, and things might look different. If your heart condemns you, greater is He than your own hearts this morning. Nothing has really changed. He's still on the throne. Trust His name this morning. Say, preacher, I'm going through darkness. Just trust in Him. It don't say trust in Calvary Baptist. It don't say trust in your pastor, and I believe you can. It don't say trust in Deacon so-and-so, or trust in this song or that song. It says trust in His name. Yes. At the end of the day, every one of us will fail you, but He's never let you down. He's never failed you. He's never forsaken you. He's never left you. He's never messed up one single time. He's never been in heaven and said, oops, I didn't see that coming. He's seen it all coming. He knows where you're at, and you can trust Him this morning. Trust in His name. But I like it. It don't just say trust in God. It says trust in His name. And sometimes it does you really good just to remember who He is. He told Moses, tell them that the I am that I am sent you. That word Jehovah, Lord. Listen, you ain't just trusting anybody this morning. You are trusting the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star, the sweet rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the author, the finisher, the omega, the beginning, the end, the truth, the life, the way, the bread, the water. He is it this morning. You can trust Him. Trust in His name. Then look in verse 11 what it says there. Not just trusting in His name. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire and the sparks that you have kindled. He says this, if you try to start your own fire, you try to get yourself out from yourself, go back to that flame you used to have, go back to that spark you used to find. He says this, you will lie down in sorrow. What he says is this. He says, don't try to go back and just do it on your own. Amen. He says, leave it with the Lord. Trust in Him. Leave it with the Lord. How about this? The Bible says in Psalm 23, thou preparedest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You ever thought about that? David is writing that. We love that mercy and gladness will follow me all the days of my life. We love that our cup runneth over, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We love all that. But if you stop to really think, that he said, thou hast prepared a table with all my enemies.
The very place that David is eating at, the very place that he says, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the very place that he says mercy and gladness, and he describes the cup overflowing, the very place he is setting is at a table full of his enemies. How can you sit at a dinner table full of people that want to cut your head off, throw spears at you, and kill you, and yet still say, my cup runneth over? I think David had a little bit of a connection with the Lord that morning. I think he understood it ain't about who's around him, but who's in him. Amen. I think he got an understanding of that verse that says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, that we're more than conquerors. Understand this morning, your joy is not about your presence. Your joy is not where you're at. Your joy is not what's going on. Your joy is whose you are and whose you are this morning. Understand, he's our joy. Trust in the Lord. I'm done right here. Sis, come to the piano. Help me out. I'll shut up when you start playing. Just know there's a purpose. And God is looking to develop you in this time of darkness. A photo is developed in dark rooms, and God is a picture he's trying to develop in you. A picture that looks a lot like his son. He's trying to develop in you the image of his son. Don't think for a second that if you're in darkness, you're alone, because even the Son of God cried out from the cross, Father, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the sun was blotted out and darkness fell upon the face of the earth, Jesus felt what it was like to be in darkness and to feel forsaken. You're not alone, child of God. Trust in his name. Leave it with the Lord, and I'm done right here. Look at the last part of verse 10. Stay upon his God. Stay upon his God. That word stay means to lean, to rest. It draws the picture of a crutch. It says if you're going to be walking through these dark times, you're going to experience darkness. You're going to lose loved ones, lose friends, lose jobs, lose money, experience heartache and death and disaster and disease, and you're going to walk through this life, and there's going to be times that you're going to be doing everything right, but you're going to feel all the wrong ways. So it's just trust in him. Don't run out and try to kindle your own fire. Just know he's developing something in you, for you or for somebody else. But then it says, just trust upon the Lord. It says, just stay upon his God. It means lean there. Rest. Stop trying to stand in your own strength. It's all right to fall down into the arms of the Father. My baby's been sick this week, and honestly, I think it's the sun. They literally were out there from sun up to sundown, and it's my four-year-old. Man, she looks, I mean, she is as dark as that bench right there. That salt water and everything been beating her up all week. And I'll tell you what's been awesome about all this. She'll come in and she'll just jump in my arms. She'll say, hold me, Daddy. I don't feel good. I'll tell you, this morning it was hard for Dad to leave. She's sitting there in bed and she's in Mama's arms, and I'm a little jealous. I thought, man, it'd be nice just to hold my daughter. I've never once held my daughter in her weakness and thought, man, I wish she'd get out of my arms. She's never ran to me and jumped in my arms and I thought, man, I wish she wouldn't do that. She's never cried out with tears in her eyes saying, Daddy, need you, and I've turned my back on her. She's never reached out her hand for me, not one single time that I didn't come running to her, scoop her up, and love that she is resting in my arms. Don't think for one second your Heavenly Father that he's ever going to leave you, forsake you. Don't think for one second if you'll stop trying to be puffed up and just say, God, I can't this morning. I don't want to do it no more than myself. I'm tired. I'm hard. I'm lonely. I'm sick. It's dark. God, I need you. I promise you this. Your heavenly Father will run to you. He'll run to you and scoop you up. You can rest in his arms this morning. You can rest in his arms. You can stay upon him. You can rest upon the Lord. But the greatest thing about the Lord is this. He's given you a church. With a man of God that loves you. And a staff and a faculty that care about you. And singers that can sing. And a preacher that can preach. Got the right book. God has given you a place of refuge, a place that you can rest, a place that you can stay upon. And I know what you're thinking, man. God, you've left me. It's too dark. I'm tired. I'm lonely. My bank don't look right. My job don't look right. And the first thing you want to do is go out, work more hours, find somewhere else, go here, go there, return back to your own fire. Rest upon the Lord. Stay with his church. Don't leave the church. The jacket I'm wearing, the church bought me. The shirt that I'm wearing, the church bought me. The shoes I'm wearing, the church got me. The van I'm wearing, the church got me. The van I'm driving, the church got me. Amen. I'm here because of the church. I'm saved because of God through the church. I've been called to preach in a church. I got married in a church. I fell in love. Jesus in the church. Every sermon's helped me. Every song's encouraged me. Every saint has helped me along the way. Stay with the church. Amen. Don't give up in your dark hour. Let's all stand this morning. Say, preacher, I'm walking through darkness. I feel like I'm all alone. I just don't feel like I used to. Let me ask you this. Have your eyes been moist? Be honest this morning, men, when's the last time you let God stir you up so much that tears came out of your eyes in happiness or sorrow or anything to do with the cross? Say, preacher, it's been a long time. Won't you find the spots that God, help me get my eyes back. Help me get my eyes moist again. Maybe this morning you've not been seeing things the right way. You've been looking at all your problems and you forgot about your God. Maybe this morning you say, God, readjust my vision. My problems ain't going nowhere, but just step before me and my problems that I see you and not them. Maybe this morning you've been puffed up and a little prideful. You've been trying to do it yourself, men. You've been trying to do it yourself, ladies. Trying to fix that marriage. Trying to fix that job. Trying to fix whatever it is. Why don't you come and get lowly this morning and say, God, I can't. You can. I wonder this morning, would you stay upon him? Would you rest in him? As we pray, she's singing, you're coming. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Help us get through this night. The weeping may endure the night, God. You've promised us joy is coming in the morning. God, return the tears. Help them stay long. Help them watch the horizon for you coming. And God, help them see things through blood-tinted goggles. They remember what you've done, where you pulled them out of. In Jesus' name, amen. She's singing, you're coming. Come on. Come on now. Won't you humble yourself enough to come this morning? Maybe you've been trying to do it by yourself. Maybe you've never been saved. It'd be a good time to come this morning and get born again. following you. Won't you come show them how to worship and pray this morning?
Said, I am the light. And this morning, maybe the darkness that you're experiencing and the darkness that you're going through, maybe there is no light in your life. Maybe there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Why, you ask? Because somebody gave me an opportunity. You see, back in September 28, 1997, I sat in a church service just like you're sitting in. I sat on a pew just like you have the whole time, or a chair. And the preacher gave an invitation, and the Holy Spirit had been working on me the entire service. As I sat there in that chair, I knew that I didn't know Christ as my personal Savior. I knew that if I was to die in that very moment, that I would not go to heaven. I sat there in fear. A preacher stood up and he said, Jesus will take you just as you are. He said, would you come this morning? And I remember getting up out of my seat, walking down to the front, and him saying, him calling on a man, took me with a Bible and showed me how I could be saved. I want to offer you that same thing. Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you the entire service. Maybe today, if you'd be honest, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around, you'd be honest with me this morning and say, preacher, I do not know where I would spend eternity if I died. I do not know whether I would go to heaven or hell. I don't know. If that's you this morning with nobody looking around, if that's you, if you answered that question, preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I want you to do me a favor and I want you to look right up at me. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just make eye contact with me. Is that you this morning? Preacher, I do not know. I say it, you put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you for being honest. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to miss anyone. Anybody else? Be honest with this preacher. I've had at least one look up at me. I believe there's been two. So I'm going to go a little further in this invitation. And I'm going to say this. You don't have to leave here today not knowing where you'd spend eternity. You don't have to. The Bible is very specific and it tells us. We'll show you from the Bible. We're not going to show you from the church's hand manual. We're not going to show you from our denominational manual. We're going to show you from the Bible. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved if you'll let us do that. and you lay your head down on a pillow tonight, know that if you were to die, you would open your eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, if you want that, and if you'll let me, what I want you to do is I want you to get up out of your seat, and I want you to come right here to where I'm at. If you stand and just walk right here to where I'm at, and let me get somebody to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. It is your choice, it's your decision, and you have to be this. You have to do the same thing I did. You have to choose to get out of the place you're in and to get to Him. Same thing I did. Your choice this morning. Would you come? We won't tarry long. If God's doing business with you and you want to get this thing settled, you come on now. All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we are thankful, Lord, for what you're doing this morning. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in the lives of these and our services. God, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, you can have a seat. We got a baptism this morning right there. Dalton, help him, please. Brother Jesse. Amen. Praise the Lord, Miss Courtney. Boy, the Lord's been working on her, man. And he's been working on her for a while. She's sending me messages about 2 weeks ago, I think it was. 2 or 3 weeks ago, she came to church, and God just started working on her and dealing with her. And it all led up to this morning. And last Wednesday night, she invited her husband to come. And he come Wednesday night. She come to me before church. She said,